This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Now, how? I don't think I know your statistics. I don't know what kind of a hitter. I think I know what kind of hitter you were, but I don't know the stats. How was it possible for a guy who wasn't really, didn't have Hall of Fame credentials, as they say, how could you have stayed in the show, as they call it, for 6 years?
Well, I think anybody who hits 340, 350 every year can stick around. I mean, for a guy like myself, I had a 200 lifetime batting average, which... tied me with another sports great, Don Carter, one of our top bowlers.
Well, that's not bad when you look at it in those terms,
no.
Is it?
I tried to stay around 200, maybe 2 or 3 RBIs every year. where you're not going to take that big salary cut, you know. I've had a lot of big times in the big leagues. I can remember a 1964 bases loaded walk forcing in the winning run.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tides roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Bought into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Swing!
So I guess I remain the same, sitting here resting my bones.
Spring training to me, Dave, was learning to get in and out of hotels after curfew. Find the guys that can let you in.
Yeah.
Fire escape, stuff like that, you know.
Sure.
Baseball to me was always secondary. After the game was much more important than the game itself.
Back my home. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide.
But I guess that if you ever get nostalgic about the game, it would be today, opening day. Must bring back a lot of memories.
For a guy like myself, who was one of the all-time greats, I guess, opening days I think my first opening day, they had told me we were playing a night game, and I found out we'd played that afternoon. That was really
Yeah, Bob Uecker, Paul. Mr. Baseball.
Mr. Baseball brought so much joy and pleasure to people's lives. Not really on the baseball field, but kind of after that.
Yeah.
I know one of my favorite movies is Major League. Golly, he's got some good lines from that one.
And Mr. Belvedere, remember that show?
Yeah, who can forget Mr. Belvedere? Great
game. What a career. An amazing, amazing icon of Wisconsin and of baseball. And he will be sorely, sorely missed. I know my grandparents used to be the ones that turned down the TV just so they could listen to Bob Uecker on the radio while they watched the game.
So did I.
Yeah.
For years. And in Chicago, I could get the radio broadcast, but not the TV broadcast. So I would listen to him for years and years.
Yeah. Well, let's do a moment of silence for Mr. Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball. God rest in peace, Bob. All right, batter up. Let's start the show.
Let's go.
And now, the starting lineup for your Wassa Business Show! With your hosts, Ryan and Paul!
It's Wassa Business Show!
Wasn't somebody gotta do it. Got my foot up on the gas, but somebody gotta do it. Turn this TV off, turn this TV off. 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 The city just made it sweet, you could diabetic. They mouth get full of deceit, let these cowards tell it. Walk in New Orleans with the etiquette of LA yelling. Second bad, but somebody gotta do it. Got my foot up on the gas, but somebody gotta do it.
Kendrick Lamar performing at the Super Bowl halftime show this year. Hello, Wassonians. This is the Red Lobster Loving Wausau Business Show, episode number 41.
Wow.
An awesome show. And TikTok is in the news, so this is gonna be really cool. Talking to a leader on the TikTok platform, Michael Hahn, the CEO of Tittle, is coming in here, not to just talk about Tittle, which is the company he's CEO of, from Meriton City, Wausau. Basically,
right,
but to also talk about China and what China's doing and the U.S. Supreme Court with TikTok's future. So that'll be interesting.
Can't wait to hear from Mike.
I guess it lives to see another day as of right now, but who knows what's going to happen. It's hour by hour at this point.
Hard to interpret that ruling, I think.
You got your 2025 budgets done yet, Paul?
I'm still working on it. Is that bad?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, okay, we're into the new year. Get your damn budgets in. I know a bunch of companies.
Yeah, we're supposed to have a budget,
okay,
I guess.
Okay, all right. Well, the Wausau Business Show is open for business either way.
Yeah, with or without a budget.
And 100% of our profits go to the Community Foundation in North Central Wisconsin, and Maggie DeLoy will be here in a little bit as well.
All right.
But right now, let's talk to 2024 Athena Award winner Jennifer Johnson, who just wrapped up the 10th Annual Women in Leadership Conference from the Chamber of Commerce.
All right.
Jennifer Johnson.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
Hello, guys.
Also, former Channel 9 news anchor. Boy, you got out right in the nick of time there, huh? A few years ago?
You know, I was in nick of time decades ago.
Yeah.
Decades ago.
I know. Jeez, we still miss you and Melissa Langbin.
Sad to see everyone go.
Sad, sad stuff. But tell us about the Women Leadership Conference. It's the 10th annual, and you're the Athena winner. What's the big takeaway from the Women's Leadership Conference this year, 10th annual?
You bet. So I'm on the planning committee, and we set a theme for bravery and courage lead to growth. And we had over 450 Central Wisconsin women attending, brought speakers in from across the country.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's great to get all of these women together and the excitement that you can garner and the networking and the people you can meet.
Very cool.
It was really a lot about bravery and courage, right? How are you going to be brave? How are you going to be courageous and push yourself to that next level?
I noticed there was a really cool speaker there. What was the big takeaway from the famous speaker that came in?
We had two speakers on Wednesday, and one talked about being bold and courageous, and we really workshopped through the morning with her. What's holding you back? What are your fears? What keeps you from being bold and courageous? And you can't grow if you're not courageous, because you don't grow inside your bubble, right? You've got to push yourself outside that box to keep growing.
Great advice. And these are all the women leaders in the area, right?
A large chunk of them. And we had, you know, all the way from some college students attending all the way through the ranks.
Well, awesome. Thank you for their contributions and congratulations again on the Athena Award. 10th Annual Women in Leadership Conference, Paul. That is awesome. Congratulations. Jennifer Johnson, everybody.
Great to hear from you, Jennifer.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Can you get Eric Marotek and Melissa Langbin back? Is that a thing that you women could work on?
You know, we can try. We need to find somebody else to purchase WAOW from Brian Allen Media.
Amen.
Have the courage to try.
Amen. Amen.
There you go.
Hey, you're not going to get a yes if you don't ask, right?
That's right.
All right.
That is right.
Thanks, Jennifer. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks, Gabe.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. Breaking Channel 9 news. Byron Allen Media has just laid off Channel 9's weather team.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, this guy doesn't stop. And the point is that Channel 9 is a profitable business in and of itself. But what he's trying to do is just cut the job so he can send the money back to his pocketbook. And I won't get into it, but it's just annoying. It's annoying.
It doesn't feel right. I can tell you that.
It's really sad. All right. So Mike Hahn is coming up, the CEO of Tittle, which is basically one of the largest marketing agencies performing on TikTok right now these days. And we recorded the interview with Mike before the tragedies in LA, the fires. Yeah. And a lot of Mike's staff is out in LA. And we heard that all the staff that works at Tittle is doing all right. They made it through. But we know a lot of people like Crazy Caller Brian from LA and his colleagues out there.
Right.
Some of them lost their homes.
Yeah, tragic.
And it is a tragedy. But we wanted to let everybody to know when you're listening to the interview next, that was recorded prior to the fires in LA. So we're going to be talking about LA a little bit and didn't want to seem insensitive about that. So that's coming up next. Our thoughts and prayers are with everybody out in LA, of course. And we'll be right back with Mike Hahn, the CEO of Tittle, on the Wausau Business Show.
You know I'm impatient, so why would you leave me waiting outside the station when it was like minus 4 degrees? And I get what you're saying. I just really don't want to hear it right now. Can you shut up for like once in your life? Listen to me, I took your nice words of advice about how you think I'm gonna die lucky if I turn 33. Okay, so yeah, I smoke like a chimney. I'm not skinny and I pull a Britney every other week. But cut me some slack, who do you want me to be? Cause I'm too messy, and I'm just too unclean. You told me get a job and you asked where the hell I've been.
You're tuned in to the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
For over 130 years, Ameriprise Financial has helped millions of Americans retire on their terms by providing advice for their unique goals. Stop in today at Strongbridge Wealth Advisors, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Advisors, LLC, and develop a customized plan for your retirement. Call Strongbridge Wealth at 715-849-3697. Office is located at 2711 Stewart Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Visit us online at strongbw.com. Not FDIC or NCUA insured. No financial institution guarantee. May lose value. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Hello, my name is Maureen Carlson of Greenfire Management Services. Greenfire is a trusted local commercial construction manager. Greenfire provides detailed and innovative services so you can focus on growing your business. We're all about helping companies and communities thrive, so Greenfire is pleased to sponsor the Friend of a Friend competition to support the continual growth of Central Wisconsin. Contact us today to discuss your next construction project. Learn more at greenfire.com. That's greenfire.com.
This is the
Wausau Business Show.
The Wausau Business Show.
With Ryan and Paul.
Ryan Gallagher
and Paul Grinsell.
The Wausau Business Show.
Feel like TikTok, TikTok like this.
Tick-tock on the clock, but the party don't stop.
Feel like TikTok, TikTok like this.
Pure Wausau. This is the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And now the CEO of one of the major management companies of influencers on TikTok. It's CEO of Tittle, Michael Hahn. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Welcome.
Welcome, Mike.
How you doing?
Yeah. Welcome to the Wausau Business Show.
You got your coffee, I see.
Yeah.
Second one, yeah. I love Americanos, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good. That's from the Pinery.
Our friends down there. Yeah, this is good. The kid who served it was really nice, so.
Yeah, they're all, that's a good team.
We got a great staff.
Good team down there. So Tittle, you started Tittle while you were in high school at Marathon High School in Marathon, Wisconsin, right outside of Wausau. It's a great suburb of Wausau, I like to refer to it as.
Right.
Describe to people what Tittle is, because it's a cool company, but I think it would be better, obviously, described by you.
Yeah, so, I mean, the easiest way for me to describe it, especially to older people, is it's just a TikTok management agency.
Okay.
So, if you think of like a sports player, like Justin Bieber, they have their agent or they have their manager. We're like that, but for TikTokers, for, you know, smaller people. You know, so like high schoolers, college age kids who have a following on TikTok, but don't really know how to negotiate with brands or handle monetization.
Okay. And you do stick to TikTok.
TikTok. Okay. Yeah.
Why just TikTok? Out of curiosity.
Yeah. So Instagram and YouTube have been around for a while. Mm-hmm. So that market is really saturated by huge agencies.
Okay.
Whereas TikTok, I got involved in 2020 when it was first coming around, which is just good timing.
Yeah.
And it was easy for us to get in the game, sign some big talents initially. And now we have one of the bigger rosters. So we are just one of the bigger agencies out there for TikTok. So we manage some of the bigger talents on TikTok, especially in the beauty niche.
All right.
So we just do really well with that. So we just focus on that and stick to that.
Who's the biggest talent that you manage?
Her name is Gianna. Her username is Gianna M. Joyce, and she has 12 million followers.
Okay.
Wow.
So you have this network of influencers that you push and you engage brands with, and then you push their content out to the influencers? Is that how that works?
So I guess the best way to explain it is,
we represent these influencers where they have our email in their bio. So when a brand wants to work with them, we're getting the email. We're negotiating with a brand. We're looking out for the best interest of the creators.
You're their agent.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
But technically the term is manager, because the agent word is, it's a different thing. And California has all these weird rules.
California does have an agent, weird
so we can't
rules.
Call it an agent.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Right. Right. We're managers.
Okay. Gavin Newsom. We did not call it an agent.
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Gavin.
But this started in 2020 when you were still in high school. You were like what, junior or senior?
I was a senior, yep.
Yeah. Okay, and it started early in the year?
It started like right as COVID was hitting. Okay. So right as school was getting shut down, because the reason it started is I needed a job for the summer.
Okay.
Right, in high school, the only jobs you really get are like, I guess, serving and...
And that was all shut down.
Right, yeah, so yeah. I needed a way to make money. So initially what I did is I was just designing merchandise for TikTokers.
Okay.
And that led to one of the TikTokers asking me to manage them, which I agreed to. I didn't know what it was, but I was like, I'll do anything for money.
Sure,
at that point.
Yeah.
So I started doing that, and I enjoyed that a lot more than, you know, the merchandise. I'm not, you know, it's a lot easier to just manage people than work on their merchandise.
Yeah.
So that kind of scaled out to me reaching out to more influencers and just wanting to manage them. And then from there, kind of built the team, and now we're a team of eight, where I'm spending more time managing the employees who manage the influencers than managing the influencers.
Yeah, yeah. And didn't you start with like music artists at one point too?
So yeah, I mean, it started with managing TikTokers, and then I started getting in touch with some big musicians who needed management. So I went that route, kind of got screwed over by two musicians. And then I'm like, okay, I can't really deal with all this crap. I'm going to go back to TikTok and do TikTok stuff instead.
What does that mean? You got screwed over?
Yeah, how do they screw you over?
Well, I just didn't have good contracts in place.
Oh,
you know,
they stiffed
like,
you?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Welcome to the business world, right?
And,
we just got stiffed for $350,000 here last week.
It happens.
Yeah.
Ooh, geez.
Yeah, it really sucks. Get used to it. Sometimes people go bankrupt.
Yeah, exactly. But you found out that musicians are maybe a little too high risk.
Well, the music space is always kind of iffy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Always, we've gotten, I mean, not $350,000, but we've gotten stiff by agencies and labels who just don't pay.
So you do tens of thousands of dollars worth of work for them,
yeah,
and then they don't pay
exactly,
you.
Right.
They stiff you.
Right.
That's wild. But I remember your dad talking to me about you going with him to a recording studio.
Oh, in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, Hotlanta.
Oh, that was right. Funny. I should show you. Did you guys see the picture of it?
I've seen a picture or two.
Well, isn't it like a super popular rap artist coming up in Atlanta?
That one was just, that one we were working like on technology for this label. I don't even remember the label name at this time, but we kind of got screwed out of that too.
But you were in a recording
studio. The first whole year of me is just getting screwed in different ways. So
that's how you learn, I guess.
It's good to be 17 getting screwed because you don't need to make money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you
entrepreneur
know,
and you still got mom and dad.
And you learn all the lessons early.
Success is built on failures, let's be honest.
Right. Amen.
So, yeah.
Fail fast and fail forward.
There you go.
So yeah, you were down there and your mom and dad were like, Mike, I don't want you going to Atlanta. You're 17. You were 17 or 18?
I was 17. So my dad came with.
Yeah. So your dad came with.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So this business that you started during the beginning of COVID took off, and you're like, Dad, I got to go to Atlanta for work. And they say what to you?
Obviously, my mom said no. Absolutely not. Definitely in Atlanta specifically. Right. So it's not like LA or, I mean, Houston. It's not. But my dad's like, we can do it, but I'm coming with and I'm staying with you the whole time.
Wow.
Right? So the next thing I know, it's like me, Mitch.
Your business partner?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my dad in a studio with like 20 other dudes just, you know, smoking up the whole place.
Because they were rap.
It's a
rap
hilarious
guys.
Scene. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you were the whitest guys in the room.
Oh, the only three, yeah.
Marathon City, Wisconsin.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's just the rap culture down there.
Yeah.
Part of it anyway.
It lives up to its name, I guess.
It was great, though. It was a lot of fun for me, especially.
Great memories with your dad.
Yeah.
Really cool.
So then you got out of the music part of it and you start engaging these brands for these influencers. So you're representing and managing these influencers on TikTok to these brands. What are the biggest brands that you work with?
Well, in terms of like big names, we worked with like Amazon Prime
or Uber.
I've heard of them.
Like, like normal names.
Normal like, names.
Yeah.
Well, the business is called Tittle.
Yep.
And it's very titillating. But how did you come up with the name Tittle and why Tittle?
Yeah. So when I first came up with it, like we said, I was 17.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't want to spend any time on this name because I was running the business before I had a name.
Yeah.
Naming's hard.
Yeah.
It is
hard. Like, like Google's a great company. What the hell's a Google?
Yeah.
Or Yahoo. You know, I look at these companies. I'm like, I don't know what their name means. I don't need to think of a good name.
Right.
Whatever.
You're right. Give me a random name.
So I'm looking at a keyboard and I'm like, in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to come up with a name. So I'm looking at letters and I look and there's a little, that squiggle sign on the keyboard. It's a Tilde.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll be Tilde. And I'm like, okay, well, that's taken. I'll be tittle. Great. And that was it.
Boom. Oh, I like that. Decisive.
Yeah. Yeah. And what does a tittle or a tilde represent on the keyboard?
Does it mean like approximation or something?
Yeah. About. Yeah. Okay. Roughly. Yeah. Yeah, it's better than a dash. It's less linear than a dash.
A tilde followed by 100, and that means around 100, I think.
So you've got 10 billion impressions and 350 million views.
Wow.
The analytics-driven influencer agency. They are experts at creating viral trends using the power of social media influencers. And how many influencers do you have in your stable?
Yeah, we represent 60 influencers.
60? Wow.
60, yeah.
And we could
represent more. We're pretty selective about it.
Are you capped out bandwidth-wise?
We could sign more.
You could, yeah. Okay.
But how do they do that? You have to vet them and they apply?
Yeah, we go out looking for people we think would be a good fit. I mean, we have people come inbound. Usually they're not a good fit. And good fit means, you know, they have a certain amount of followers. They're getting a certain amount of average views. They're monetizable. So they're making content that a brand would actually want to be a part of. And if we find pages like that, we reach out to them, tell them what we do, kind of the classic cold email. And we just try to look as natural as possible cold emailing, but cold emailing is always hard.
Yeah.
So we just try to reach out to them, explain what we do, show what we've done, get on a call with them, talk to them, that sort of thing.
And you have like a pitch deck for them, basically?
Yeah.
So then what do you tell them? You know, hey, you can make a lot of money with us?
Well, yeah. I mean, more so that we're like, hey, we've made these people this much money.
Okay.
So we just tell them, like, people like you, and they can see the creators have made this much money and they love us. And that way, if the creator doesn't believe us, they can just ask the other creator. And we know the other creators are happy with what we do. So it kind of sells itself at that point. We just have to get in talks with them. That's the harder part.
Is there any specific content you're looking for? Like, what is, you said Gianna as your top one.
Yeah. So right now we mostly manage like beauty, get ready with me, makeup creators.
Oh.
We kind of run that space. It's
like Antonio.
Antonio Centeno. Well, yeah, he's more in fashion, but this is more like self-care and makeup
brands,
and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the thing is, you know, let's say Gianna, if a brand reaches out to Gianna, she'll be a good fit off the rip, but we manage 50 other talents who might be a good fit. So at that point, you know, we're getting these 50 other creators access to a brand they otherwise wouldn't have had access
like
to.
Like Amazon Prime or Uber.
Right. So it all kind of like works in this network where we're pushing deals across the board from one influencer to the next and then back to each other.
Yeah. You're the conduit so that they can talk to each other.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You have the contacts at the big brands and now you have the stable of influencers.
Yeah.
And they need each other. Right. They need each other and they need you.
Yeah, exactly.
So how much do these influencers make through your management?
In like per deal or in like a year or what?
Both.
I think our best year a creator made probably around $500,000.
Look at that.
But
make a TikTok
per deal. It depends on the person. It'll be as low as 250 or as high as, I think our highest was like 50,000.
Are you setting that or is Amazon and Uber saying, here's how much we'll pay?
We usually try to get them to send the first offer because sometimes they'll overshoot it.
We'll take that. It's a little low, but we'll take it.
Exactly. But if they don't, you know, we usually have a range that we know the brand will be willing to pay. And also just based on the deliverables, like some brands want a TikTok reposted to Instagram, that costs a little more. Some want usage rights, which means they own the video, that costs more. So there's different deliverables, but we have a general price we're looking per person. And that's based off the views usually.
Yeah.
And I imagine based on the views, so Gianna with 12 million followers is going to demand a much higher rate than someone with a million followers.
Yep. Right. Yeah. To a certain degree. I mean, we have a creator with 5 million who charges like 10 to 20K per promo, whereas Gianna's like 5 to 10K per promo.
Okay.
But,
and then Amazon or Uber or whatever says, all right, we'll give you $50,000 for a promo on TikTok for this influencer to run with. And then what happens? The influencer creates exclusive content? Do they have to do a certain number of them or does it have to be a certain
The brand length? Reaches out, says like, hey, we know usually going in front, it's usually one TikTok.
Okay.
And the brand says, here's the kind of guide we want you to promote. We want you to promote this, you know, feature or this product. And they'll either say, we want you to do it like this, or they'll say, do it however you think would sell best.
Okay.
And then from there, the creator they do their thing. And our job is to keep them on the time schedule, make sure they follow the deliverables. Just make sure there's good organization between the brand and the creator.
Do you ever have an issue with the creator like putting up something for Amazon Prime, for example, it going up and then the creator having something nefarious happen where the brand doesn't want to be associated with them anymore?
Scandal.
Yeah.
That happens, but it hasn't happened with us. I'm sure at some point it will, but
yeah. And does Amazon Prime get to decide when they want to take it down? And if?
Usually, I mean, it depends on the agreement, but usually they have a clause in there that gives them the ability to delete it. And also creators are usually
pretty good with
it. They're happy to delete promos.
Yeah. What is the most successful promo that a creator has ever created for a brand?
Oh gosh.
With Tiddle.
I'm not even sure, to be honest, off the top of my head. I actually do have a good one. So there's this candy company, Toxic Waste. I guess, I don't know if you guys would know them, but they're a big candy company, and Gianna is like completely blew them up. She generated them hundreds of millions of views.
Wow.
Yeah, they're in like all the Five Below stores. They're at Walmarts. You know, they're everywhere.
And awareness that they didn't otherwise have of their brand.
And originally, though, she wasn't a paid partner. Like, she just liked the product.
And then once they start with these influencers, do they often continue going with them, or is it just one and done?
If it's a good creator, yeah.
Yeah. Right?
So if they're doing good and they're getting sales, they'll rebook. If they're not getting sales, they won't rebook. So we try to make sure that these videos getting pushed out are good.
Quality control?
A little bit. You don't want to be telling the creator, hey, this isn't good.
Because
at the end of the day, you're supposed to be in their corner.
Yeah.
But to a certain degree, you do have to look out for the brand.
And then what? You get a cut of those deals? Is that how your company makes money?
We get a cut. It just it depends on the creator. Some creators are like a 10%. Some are like a 30%. But we have agreements with each of them.
Gotcha. So it varies. But if you've got a creator that you're doing managing $500,000 worth, then you're getting, you know, $50,000 or whatever out of that deal.
Right.
Over and over and over. Cool. I'm noticing that one of your clients is also Manscaped.
Oh, yeah. Manscaped. Yeah.
I just trimmed my beard with my Manscaped.
Oh, it looks good.
Thing this morning.
They're
so
great,
yeah, that's a good company. Multiple top 10 app store placements. What does that mean?
Oh, we've just worked with apps that have gotten in the top 10.
Because of the influencer that you...
Yeah, because of the influencers we work with, yeah.
And then 2,000 high-ticket creators, average target CPM of $2.4.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's a marketing jargon.
No, yeah. I mean, the website is just a bunch of like buzzwords to get people excited.
Yeah.
For sure, 100%. The CPM... Well, our CPM is good. CPM is cost per 1,000 views.
Okay.
And $2.40 is pretty good.
That's a good number.
Per 1,000. Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, I gotcha.
And we are, you know, we have good CPM.
And how does that compare to like... So if I'm a brand, I'm looking at CPM across all media platforms. I'm using that to calculate television spots and outdoor and everything else. How does your CPM compare
TikTok's
to...
TikTok's always the best CPM.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, like, YouTube views might hold more weight in terms of conversions. That's the only thing. So it's... I mean, brands always look for conversions more than they look for views. Because at the end of the day, if you get 100 million views but no conversions, who cares?
Yeah, they want sales. And then you designed the analytics platform and the website and all the technology behind this,
too? Yeah, I did the website. Our technology, which isn't public, was designed by Mitch, and it's crazy good.
Wow.
But that's what holds everything together.
Because you've got an analytics platform to provide brands with their real-time data about the campaign?
Yeah.
So you're reporting back.
Mm. Yeah, so we get them reports and stuff, like really good reports.
So you can say on day two of a campaign, you've already gotten 50,000 views.
Right, yeah.
And yeah, that's,
yeah, and that's what they're looking
live,
for.
Yeah.
And then they have to approve the content before it goes live?
Mm-hmm. So the typical process, the brand reaches out, we get a number, send the number to the creator, they agree. If they agree, we get, you know, the next steps from the brand. The creator films it, sends it to the brand. If the brand wants any changes, they say so. If not, the video goes live, we get paid net 30, net 60.
So you started this when you were 17 years old.
Yep.
It was March of your senior year.
Yep.
And you were looking at colleges at the time, right?
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this was very instrumental in getting you into the Granger School of Business, directly accepted into the University of Wisconsin-Madison because of this business case.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through my freshman year direct admit,
That's not easy to do.
No.
You can say firsthand.
Yeah. You usually get accepted to Madison and then you have to apply in your freshman year
after
you go through all the prerequisites. But would you have gotten in without this?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's wild.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So you get directly admitted into the Granger School of Business, but like as of March, had you applied yet to Madison?
I don't remember, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know.
It's all a blur.
Maybe it was my junior year then.
Okay.
It must have been my junior year because I had been doing this for a year.
Yeah, okay. And then you take your ACTs and do all that. And this is just icing on the cake. And they're like, we want you to come to Granger. And you spend, what, two semesters, three semesters there?
Yeah, I was there for two semesters. And then I was like, I'm just going to go for this.
You dropped out.
Yep, I dropped out.
Yeah.
So I was working with Emmett, who's also one of the, like me, Emmett and Mitch are kind of the higher ups there. So I was working with Emmett and things were just going really, really well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I can keep my enrollment for a year. Let me just go
pause
for it.
For a year,
right,
basically.
Let me just go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we've been doing that since. We have a team of eight now and I guess we're just waiting to see if TikTok gets banned.
Uh-oh. Thing,
right? How old are you now?
I'm 22. I just turned 22 last month.
Okay.
And all this experience at 22, that's something else. And you've experienced failures, ups and downs, and so on.
What's your exit strategy here?
I don't know. I'm going to just keep doing this. If TikTok doesn't get banned, if it does get banned, then I guess we'll see.
Pivot.
Yeah, maybe go to Instagram. I don't know. We'll see.
What's the latest on the possible TikTok ban?
Oh, I could give you.
Yeah, have I you been? Have you been lobbying our Congress
no,
people?
No, I've been lobbying. But no, but yeah, I mean, right now the latest is we're waiting on the Supreme Court hearing. So
wow,
and then the ban would come Sunday, the 19th, if it's going to happen. There's a few things that could stop that. You know, the Supreme Court could stop it, push it back. Biden could sign something that gives it another 3 months, so pushes it back to April.
Okay,
I think that'd be. So we'll just see.
And what is the Supreme Court actually ruling on?
They're ruling on if banning TikTok is a violation of the First Amendment.
Okay.
So whether it is or not, I guess I don't know.
It's a First Amendment case then.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with national security?
Well, that's the reason the bill was passed in the first place.
Yeah.
But what the Supreme Court's specifically ruling on is that First Amendment.
Because I know there's a lot of people that say, well, TikTok is owned by the Chinese government and they're using it. What is the
theory? So I can just go.
Yeah, what's the logic there?
So Trump's kind of started in 2020, but then he kind of backed out, whatever. That's its own thing. And then March of 2023, they're talking to Xu Zhiqu, the CEO of TikTok, in a congressional hearing. And he says, data's only in America. Great. That sounds good. But then in May, Forbes comes out with an article saying that, you know, there's data being stored in China. And I forget how they proved it, but they kind of showed that it was being stored in China.
Okay.
So then Marco Rubio, and you know, opens up an investigation on it, works with the Department of Justice. They still haven't found anything proving it, but apparently they pointed out that there are social security numbers, tax information being stored in China, which freaks people out.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. But they need that information to pay people for views.
Okay.
So I think it's fine. But anyways, I'm biased.
Yeah. Also, you think TikTok is fine?
I think it should be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, right. I'm obviously pretty biased.
Sure. Yeah. I didn't know. Do you think that the Chinese government is using it to spy on Americans?
Well, probably.
And then how would they do that?
Well, the algorithms can track what you like, what you're looking at, you know, that's one thing. So they can see like what I specifically like, what my interests are.
So they can use that to kind of manipulate you
if they want. I think the bigger threat is they're worried that if we did get in a conflict with China, they could almost push propaganda subtly to people and sway their opinions because they're in charge of the algorithm.
To the public, basically.
Maybe, right.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe.
And with 170 million users, that's half the US.
Wow.
Yeah.
Especially the younger generation who's pretty, you can influence them.
Yeah.
But I'm still pro TikTok.
As your management company proves, you're dealing with literally influencers.
Exactly.
What do influencers do? Well, they influence people.
They're pretty good at
sway
it, too.
Opinions, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not like the Chinese government is taking over our phones and looking at our internal...
No, that was what, you know, that was what they originally pushed. That seems pretty...
Far-fetched.
Based on the technology.
Right.
Okay. So which way do you think the Supreme Court's going to go?
I think the Supreme Court's going to stay out of it. Now, Trump was, you know, saying that he wanted the Supreme Court to give their administration time to look at it, but I just don't know how much control he has over their, you know, their
judgments. Well, right.
You know, they're locked in. It doesn't really matter.
They're Trump supposed to be independent of each other.
Right.
So, yeah.
Was this always your dream to do something like this or?
No, it wasn't. But, you know, it just, I do like, you know, running my own business.
Yeah.
I like the people I work with. I like working with the influencers. So I'm happy with what I'm doing. It wasn't my dream, but I do like it.
What did you want to do prior to this? What did you imagine your life becoming?
I was going for finance. I think I was going to be like a financial advisor, just work at a company with a finance major.
Yeah. Not nearly as cool as what you're doing now.
No.
Yeah.
No offense, Tim Freiberg.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah. This is awesome.
But this career now, since you started when you were 17, you're now 22. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
This career has afforded you some pretty cool experiences in your life already. Obviously, you're working with Fortune 500 companies. You've been, talk about maybe the event that you held in LA last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, we didn't hold it last year. We held an event a couple years ago in LA. Yeah, that was fun. We basically got a bunch of some of the beauty creators we worked with, had them all fly out to LA, and then it was like a meet and greet.
Okay.
So it wasn't anything too crazy, but it was definitely fun. It was nice to meet the influencers.
In person. They all came out and met each other.
Yeah.
And kind of networked, and then you guys put on
a party type thing?
Yeah, basically like a party meet and greet. But we do like team meetups probably twice a year.
Nice. So. Where do you do those?
Usually LA. That's where most of our team's at.
Is that where most of the influencers are living?
Most people are in LA. So like Emmett our VP lives in LA, and then Coleman, a manager of ours, Vic, our head of music, lives in LA. So
what do you mean by head of music? Because you're contracting musicians?
Yeah, so the thing with music is it's kind of its own thing from brand deals. Brands, there's pretty much infinite brands. Mm-hmm. In terms of like labels and artists, there's really finite amount. So in the music space, you're almost working on behalf of the labels, you know, to get those deals to the creators. Whereas in the management space, on the brand side of things, since there's unlimited brands, you're looking out for the creator's best interest. So we kind of separate the two and have our own like music area where they're working on music deals, but that's less management focused and more focused on getting those song promos pushed.
So it's like a different division to your company, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever consider moving to LA?
No, I like Wisconsin. And yeah, it wouldn't change. Like, I wouldn't work better there or anything. I've got Emmett out there. He's super. He's a good guy. He meets everyone.
Yeah.
He's a good representation.
What's your favorite thing about living in Wausau in the area?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, being by my family and girlfriend and all that is good. But honestly, Wausau is great because it has it all, and there's not the traffic. Like,
yeah.
Wausau has everything you would ever want. It's got 3 Starbucks and like close to each other, so I can go to a different one each day. And a bunch of different places.
And is that where you normally work? Is the coffee shop?
Starbucks, yeah. Always Starbucks.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And do you ever consider having a brick and mortar office?
I mean, there's been talks of doing it. If we did, it would be in LA and I wouldn't even be there anyways.
Wow.
But the thing is, our schedule, you know, TikTokers are texting us from 9 a.m. in the morning till I go to bed at night.
Wow.
So I'm always on my phone anyways.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where I'm responding to them.
Right.
So when I'm at Starbucks, I'm usually there for 6 hours. That's the time where I'm on my email, but I don't want to interact with other people.
Right.
I just want to be by myself. So having a brick and mortar place wouldn't really change that.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the day, I'm basically just on call for these creators. So once again, brick and mortar place wouldn't really change that.
And do they ever call up and complain about brands or things like that?
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to be kind of the go-between to smooth things over?
Yeah. I mean, that's most of the job.
Yeah.
It's just trying to figure out how to best word something to one party or the other.
Conflict resolution, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which law firm do you use for all this?
We haven't had legal problems for a while. We have 3 lawyers. So we have like a low issue one, that's the cheaper one, this is kind of an issue one, and then we have like an oh crap lawyer who's expensive that we try to stay away
from. Red alert.
The shark.
Yes.
And where do you see Tittle in like 5 years?
Well, assuming TikTok doesn't get banned,
yeah.
I think we could be the biggest management agency on TikTok.
With like how many employees?
As many as it takes, or as little as it takes.
Yeah.
Really. I don't, like, I'd rather have a smaller team than a bigger team.
Yeah.
I don't know how many employees it would take. We have such, like I said, we have really good software that keeps everything organized for us. So,
you ever think about going back to college? Is there any reason to do that at this point?
I don't really plan on it. I mean, I liked college. I like learning. I like I like education a lot.
Yeah. Do you have enough money to retire on yet?
I can't
at 22?
I can't say that.
Give him till he's 23.
I know, I don't want to speak out of school here, but you bought a house up on a lake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not many 22-year-olds have you bought it at 20 or 21, have a lake house, for God's sakes.
And a ski boat and everything else, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing really well for yourself.
Living the life.
Talk about the bike trip you went on last summer.
Oh, the bike trip was great. So
went over to Europe.
Mitch, like I said, he's a great guy. He's my best buddy. And yeah, we went to Europe. We landed in northern Switzerland. We landed in Zurich, biked across Switzerland.
Did you say hi to Katie Wanzerski?
No.
Next time you're over there, say hi to Katie Wanzerski.
But Switzerland was crazy.
There's
some crazy stories. I mean, we basically got stuck on an Alp. With it raining and just rain pouring down the mountain, and then
the beautiful Alps. No, we got stuck on one.
We got stuck on an Alp. I love that.
No, it was bad. And then
the life he's had.
Yeah. But we made it through Switzerland, and then we biked half of Italy, and his knee blew out. But it was still really cool. Like a month straight of biking,
minus the knee. That's amazing. What a trip.
Well,
once in a lifetime.
Did he get in an accident, or did you?
Oh yeah. So the same day where we got stuck
on the Alp,
on the single Alp, it was raining that whole day, and we shouldn't have biked, but it was whatever. It was like the
working,
day we were most looking forward to.
Working as you were going, kind of deal?
No. I was just biking.
But you took the whole month off, or were you working?
Working as we were biking.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was biking, and I touched the GoPro to turn it off because I had a GoPro on.
Yeah.
And as I did that, I hit a railroad track and just completely spun out, and a car just was like inches from just running me completely over. It was like shout out to the lady, because I don't know if I would have stopped in time.
Oh my
wow.
God. Did you have any injuries?
Nothing crazy. Yeah. I mean, like my hand was cut up really bad and my face was cut up and my body was cut up, but we kept going. It was kind of like...
It was probably more difficult to me in Atlanta. I was where was your dad?
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. That is phenomenal.
No, that was good. Yeah. And I think we're going to do the Pacific Coast Highway in a month or two from now. So.
And you've had a longtime girlfriend, and when are you going to pop the question on that, Mike?
Oh, boy. The plan is after she graduates.
Oh, so does she know that? I hope.
Yeah, she knows.
She does now.
We've talked about it. So it's pretty open. But
yeah.
So she's a junior and a half. So in about like 2 years, maybe.
What's she going to school for?
She's an econ major.
Oh,
with
like
a minor
Paul.
In marketing.
Yeah,
that's what I was. I was an econ major. Is she at Madison too?
Madison, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So at 22 years old, you've accomplished a lifetime already, Michael. What would you say your leadership and management philosophy is?
Oh, boy.
Do you have 401k and benefits and health and everything for these employees?
They got you know, matches and stuff. They got good benefits.
Wow.
They don't have insurance because they're young enough. They don't need it.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is I'm always transparent with my employees. I tell them exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And I also lead by example. I mean, it's easy for me to lead by example because I love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So they see that I'm, you know, working hard. And I've never had issues with my employees now. I have in the past, but...
But you took care of it.
Now. Yeah, I mean...
What are you doing, like annual reviews or what do you do there?
No, we do like 2 calls a week. So we're constantly reviewing. I mean, there's in this space, there's not like the consistency of having a quarterly review with expectations of getting to X dollar amount in profits or revenue.
Yeah.
But on a week by week basis, you can say, yeah, you're doing enough or yeah, you're not doing enough. So just holding each other accountable in that regard.
Talk about your org chart. You've got 8 people.
Yep.
You've got one developer.
Yeah. So Mitch is our CTO. He's a lacrosse grad. He was pre-med, did this instead. Super smart guy. I'm fortunate to have him. Emmett, VP, he's a really smart guy. He's a musician. He lives in LA and he's been around this whole time. He's super, super good guy.
Okay.
And then from there, we have Eli and Coleman are like the more experienced managers. So they've been here for 2 years. Eli's a graduate of University of Milwaukee. Coleman is another musician from LA.
And what do?
They manage the creators. So they Coleman has a roster of about 30. Eli has a roster of about 20.
Cool.
So they do a lot of the day-to-day management. They're great. And then we have Vic, head of music. So he's a Yale grad.
Wow.
History grad. But yeah, so he's in charge of music. We've only had him for like 2 months now, but he's doing good stuff. And then we have Justin, who's in Canada. He's in school right now still, but he's a manager and going to be a full-time manager once he's out of school. And then same with Luke. He's at Eau Claire and he's going to be a full-time once he's out of school, but he's kind of in training.
What so a team.
To
wow.
scale this up, you plan on hiring more of these managers?
We have to. The thing is like Luke and Justin are in their kind of beginning phases where they could take on a bigger roster.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather just work with them to develop, you know, their management skills and get creators in their hands rather than hire more people. Hiring more people is always a pain.
Yeah.
Like last year we had issues with overhiring and it's just not fun.
What's your biggest challenge as a business leader and owner?
Well, right now the biggest issue is the TikTokers want to get paid as soon as they post.
Oh.
The brands want to pay as
30
as
or 60.
They can. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we become a bank sometimes.
We're
fronting stuff. So cash is always, I mean, I feel like any business, cash is always tough. Bouncing that is hard.
What's your bank?
Chase. They're great.
Chase
Manhattan.
Shout out Chase.
Wow. This is something. This is really something. All on TikTok. Well, good luck with China. Good luck with China. That's all I can say.
Yeah, so, I mean, if TikTok gets banned, we'll be going to Instagram and we'll be hitting it hard. So whoever's been there for a while, they got to look out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
In conclusion here, Mike, well, we've got you. Thanks for coming in. This is really cool.
This was fun.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about your dad? We work with dad, Matt.
Matthew Michael Hahn.
I got a lot of good things to say about my dad. I guess one thing that I've kind of realized recently, though, is it's nice being able to go to him for anything. Like, I've had a lot of business issues. Mm. Just go to him, and he has an answer immediately.
Wow.
Like, no questions asked, just immediately. So, that's always been nice.
I predicted he'd say that, remember?
Yeah.
I did predict that.
Business.
Yep.
We asked your dad before.
It's personal, too, but, I mean, business comes up a lot more frequently.
Yeah, it's a good way to connect with your father, I bet. We went into your dad's office before you got in here, and we recorded
him.
My
number two answer would be he's a really good travel partner. So
I would agree with that.
But
here's what your father said about you, Michael.
And we're talking to Matt Hahn, who works with us. He is the father of CEO Michael Hahn at Tittle. Is it pronounced Tittle?
It's Tittle.
Is he comfortable talking about the dollars and cents? It's a business show.
I think he'd probably be comfortable with that, yeah.
Okay. Cool. And if we would say, what's your favorite thing about your father, what would his response be?
Oh, boy. Oh, that's you're putting me on the spot here. Boy, I don't know what he would say. That's a good question. I think you should ask him.
Well, business know-how, perhaps?
Your business acumen?
I would hope so. I would hope
he's been a good mentor of mine.
I'd be very happy if he said that, yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
You passed the test.
Yeah, that's Mike, great. You know your dad very, very well.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay, last little bit here. You're working with all these cool brands, Mike, and you're on the bleeding edge of what's cool on TikTok and influencers and everything else. I want to do a little game here with Paul.
Okay. I love games.
Yeah, it's called the definition game, where, Michael, you throw out the word from your generation. Okay. You're 22 years old. There's a lot of vernacular and verbs and words that Paul may not know.
That an old guy like me wouldn't know.
That are cool these days, you know. Three words. Three words that your generation and that are cool on TikTok and throughout the world that Paul may not know.
That you can embarrass me with.
Okay, I feel like...
Word number one. What's word number one?
Word number one is Riz.
Riz.
I can use it in a sentence.
Oh, yeah, please. That would be very helpful.
Paul, do you know it otherwise?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you take a guess before he uses it in a sentence?
Yeah, go ahead.
The
word is Riz.
The word is Riz. Riz is the amount of impressions TikTok gets. That's not right.
Like, you got to think of like, this is what something I'd say to my friend.
Okay.
So
okay.
It doesn't have to do with TikTok.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Here we go. Using in a sentence.
You want
now?
Slang words, right?
Like yeah. Anything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Michael's going to use it in a sentence. Okay. For you, Paul.
I'll give you a pretty easy one.
Okay.
Jake saw a girl at the bar and he hit her with Riz.
Oh, does it
that
mean
one could go anyway?
But does that help? Does that help?
I could take a guess. Does that mean to give someone a lot of attention?
No, like,
attention?
It's like spitting game at a girl or like, oh, okay. Or like flirting up with.
You
her.
Know what spitting game?
Actually, I don't.
Okay, so Paul is 0-1.
0-1. Okay, okay, number two.
The second word is
drip.
Drip.
Jewelry of some sort or.
Kind of.
Okay.
You know what drip?
I would have guessed jewelry as well. Michael, could you use it in a sentence for Paul, please?
I'll do Jake again. Jake went on a date and he was dressed with drip.
It has something to do with fashion. I'm
guessing. It's like kind of being dressed nice and looking good, looking clean.
Okay. I got halfway there.
All right, I'll give you a half a point.
Okay.
Okay, so we're half a point for two. And and the last and final word for Paul is
demure.
Demure. Not a new word, but...
No, but...
Used a lot more these days.
Oh, is this a bring back? I didn't even know it was a thing. I thought this was new.
It's a bring back.
Demure.
They say bring back these days too, Paul.
Does it mean like glamorous or something like that?
Yeah, geez, maybe we should think of a different one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's do another one.
I didn't know that was a real word beforehand.
Yeah, that's kind of been in Webster for a while.
Right. It was popular in the 50s, I think.
It's very demure.
Brain rot.
Brain rot, Paul.
Well... Okay, I could go a couple directions with this. It either means something specifically like...
literal?
Or like like the drugs rot your brain, so that's brain rot. But I think it has more to do with useless activities one might do.
Okay. Michael?
That's pretty... I mean, that's head on. We don't need to say that. There we go. All right.
One and a half out of three. Don't give them too much.
50% from the line. That's like me in high school.
Wow. Paul's walking out of here a much cooler guy.
Much younger guy.
You look 5 years younger already, Paul. Well, Michael Hahn, thanks for coming by. The CEO of Tittle.io. If you want to check out his website, Tittle.io, or any of the influencers on TikTok. Thanks for stopping by the WASA Business Show, Michael.
Yeah, you're doing great stuff, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate
thanks for being
it.
Here.
Michael Hahn.
Woo! Yeah. Now I'm going to be late for your dad's meeting, Mike, but I'm going to blame you. This was too much fun.
Let's go get in that meeting with his dad now.
Let's go. Sweet.
I can see you, don't fall far from the tree, because I've been looking at you so long, now I only see me. I want to throw the apple into the sky, feels like you never understand me, so I just want to try to be.
High Roller Skating Center.
Hello, skaters. This is 1996 Homecoming King and DJ Josh Dewey zipping through time from 1996 to deliver some roller skating magic. We have a flower waiting for Julie. Julie, come on up to the DJ booth for your flower and find out who it's from.
This is the Wausau Business
the
Show.
Wausau Business Show.
With Ryan and Paul.
At Incredible Bank, we want to recognize two local organizations for making a difference in our community. Bridge Street Mission in Wausau actively supports those experiencing homelessness and hunger by providing a warm location, food, fellowship, help, and encouragement. In Weston, the Greenheck Community Center offers many activities that provide valuable social and recreational opportunities for community members. We are proud to play our part in supporting you. thank you for being incredible.
Experience the Third Street Lifestyle Center in downtown Wausau with great restaurants, Char Grill House, Lemongrass, Chow, Jalapenos, great pizza at Polito's, subs at Jimmy John's, food and drinks at the Pioneer Coffee Shop, unwind at the Chocolate Cafe, stop by Forward Beverage, massages at the Reflexology Center, shop at Magnolia Soap and Bath, Isaac's Fine Apparel, Tanya's Bridal, get a trim at Modern Gents, find something classy at Campbell Haynes, plan your special event at the Jefferson Street Inn. Experience the Third Street Lifestyle Center, downtown Wausau.
My money don't jiggle jiggle, it folds. I like to see you wiggle wiggle, for sure. It makes me want to dribble dribble, you know, riding in my Fiat. You really have to see it, 6 feet two in a compact, no slack, but luckily the seats go back. I got a knack to relax in my mind, sipping some red, red wine. Shepherd's Bush, my compact push. Notting Hill Gate, my Fiat skate with a crate of Cabernet. But not today, because I gotta drive. I wanna stay alive.
All Wausau, all the time. It's the Wausau Business Show. Maggie Deloy is here, who is the Director of Marketing for the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. Let's talk to Maggie. Hey, Maggie.
Hey.
Thanks welcome. For having me.
Yeah, Maggie, tell us about your role at the Community Foundation as the Director of Marketing. What are your responsibilities?
You know, every day looks a little bit different.
Yeah.
Website, social media.
Website, social media. Okay.
Newsletters.
Yeah. How does your role interact with like Michelle Gleason's role, where she's the development director and she's responsible for kind of putting her arms around all the donors and getting, you know, the funds in, her and Tim, but you play a role in that too, obviously, right, from the marketing perspective. So how does your role contribute to the funds that are coming into the Community Foundation, which there's over $80 million in the community foundation?
Wow. Yeah.
As a reminder, everybody.
Tim told us that.
Not downstairs. It's invested.
No.
But how does your role contribute to growing that fund and bettering our community?
Yeah, kind of twofold, hopefully attracting new donors. But then on the other side, kind of closing the loop for our donors that have chosen to give to us, showcasing, hey, this is what your generosity has helped to accomplish.
Okay. And how do you do that?
Yeah, storytelling. So that's a little bit of a new venture.
Once upon a time.
So what's an example of one of those stories? Do you have any examples you can share with us?
Yeah, we started this process this summer. We got to partner with NTC. They're giving us some equipment and studio space, and that's been a huge part of the process. So we've been telling a new story every 8 weeks.
Okay.
So we kicked off with the Leaki Woodson Art Museum's Glass Box Studio.
All right. Tell that story. Once upon a time. Does it always start with once upon a time?
No, thankfully not.
All right.
Yes. So that was our first one. Second one was at Stable Hands Equine Therapy.
Horses. Yeah. Cool.
And then the third one that's up is the Big Brothers Big Sisters The Nest, which is like a hangout space for bigs and littles to
And you tell
spend
the stories
together.
Of what they're doing with the Community Foundation's money.
Exactly.
And what they're doing
yes,
in
these
general.
Are all grant recipients from our Wausau Marathon County Fund.
Okay.
And it showcases the impact of that generosity.
For people that don't know, the NTC videography program, I don't know what they call it there, but the studios and the video equipment and everything that they have there is really first class. And the guy that runs it, what's his name?
Jordan Innes.
Jordan is very talented and he's been doing it for years now. And they have a really best in class communications facility there.
That's
if you
awesome.
Haven't seen it, check it out. I would recommend it.
Emma, my intern, is in school in Chicago.
Okay.
And so when she comes, you know, she's back and forth and has come back and she's like, yeah, we don't have something like this at school.
Yeah, it's really
so
great.
It's better than what she has at school in Chicago. So it's like, all right, good job, Wausau.
It really is great.
This is
really cool.
Status.
Yeah. So what's the favorite story or most emotional story that has been told thus far?
I would say most emotional. Like, I'm behind the camera leading these interviews. And so when I start crying, I'm like, all right, I hope this resonates with the people that will watch the video. But probably Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Yeah.
Great organization.
You welled up.
People sign up to like volunteer, give their time and like their heart to these kids, often for really personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the big sisters, her mom had passed away when she was younger. And so she's like, I want to be a big sister so that I can be there for kids that need another adult at that point in life, you know? So they're crying, this big and little sister are crying.
Oh my
gosh.
And
I'm behind the camera like, oh my word, like this is such a great story.
And if it wouldn't have been for the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin and in particular the Marathon County Fund, this may never have happened, their relationship.
Yeah.
So where can we find this video?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
If you go to our website, which is cfonCW.org.
I always tell people, just Google the Community, yeah, Community Foundation, Foundation of North Central Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Are they all tearjerkers?
No, thankfully not. Okay. No.
All right. But no. If you're watching the one about Big Brothers, Big Sisters, yes, bring your Kleenex.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Stable Hands has a couple of teary moments too, which is really cool. One of the volunteers was a veteran and has struggled with PTSD, and his therapist recommended to volunteer at Stable Hands for his own good.
Just to be around horses. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. And the good that that would do and helping other people. And it's been hugely impactful in his own life.
He got really emotional.
Yes. Yeah. Which, you know, he let us include in the video, which was really sweet of him.
Yeah. For a soldier.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really tough guy. Part of the interview, he was like, yeah, I didn't smile much when I first started coming here.
Right.
However many years ago. And now people have really seen me change.
It taught him to smile.
It taught him to smile again.
Really cool.
It's cool to hear how the marketing translates into donations that really impact people in our community.
Yeah.
And you're at the forefront of that. So Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, Maggie Deloy, Marketing Director. Thanks for stopping by, Maggie.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All thanks, right. Maggie.
Maggie Deloy. And before we go, Paul, we have a gentleman here that sent us a letter a couple weeks ago because we talked to Chad Franzen about the Mendoza line.
Oh, and, that's right.
You know, his statistics of how well he does telling the weather.
Right.
You know, how often he gets it right. And we compared, you know, do you get a raise if you get the statistics right, if you're better, if
right,
you get higher statistics as a meteorologist.
And he said the bar is to be over the Mendoza line, I believe.
Yeah. So this gentleman, thank you for listening. Terry from Rothschild.
Thanks, Terry.
He sent us some snail mail, some real
old-fashioned. I like
actual
that.
Actual mail in the mail.
We get some mail from time to time.
And it got sent back to him because he used the wrong address or something. It didn't, I don't know, whatever.
Return to sender. Yeah, great Elvis jam.
But he put on here a John Wooden, famous basketball coach, stamp, which is cool.
Oh, yeah, apropos.
Yeah, and then he wrote us a little letter.
Okay, go ahead. Can you read it?
From the desk of Terry, and it says, guys, shocked you didn't know about the Mendoza line.
Well, we're sort of dopey like that.
Here are two of his cards. Great show. Keep them coming. Jerry. Right. And then he included two Topps baseball cards from Mario Mendoza, who played for, looks like, the Rangers and Seattle. And I thought this was nice and apropos, as you used last week on the show.
Yeah, to I'd like bring to up. Come back to it.
Because of Mr. Baseball. Mr. Baseball had about a 200 batting average as well.
He was right around the Mendoza line. So this card's from 1982.
It's not
from the Rangers.
I wonder if it's like worth anything if it's his rookie card.
Yeah, I don't know.
So there he is. He was a shortstop for the Pirates and Mariners, 74 to 80. And yeah, he's batting
216 major league average. I'm seeing here.
This one is 213.
No, it went down.
So it made me pull that out and think about Mr. Baseball, because he had the same batting average. And so our condolences to the family of Bob Uecker. We appreciate you.
Yeah, you know, one funny line I just read, you know, people are on social media saying how great Bob Uecker is and how funny he is. And one time he said, I know that famous baseball players and baseball stars drink Miller Lite. I talked to one once. Downplaying his own professional career, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, what a great guy. Bob Uecker, you will be missed. The entire state of Wisconsin will miss you. And Wausau's favorite baseball team will miss you. God rest in peace, Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
90 years old.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. Two, three strikes.
next week on the show, Top Gun pilot. He's actually above a Top Gun pilot.
Right.
He's
tip top?
The tippy top of the Top Gun.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear all about that from Ryan Gaffney, Colonel Ryan Gaffney, who is down at the Air Force Base in Madison. And he's kind of, he was the CEO, so to speak. If it was a business, Ryan would have been kind of the CEO of that Air Force Base down at Truex Field in Madison. We're going to talk to Ryan Gaffney about his career in the Air Force at the top levels of flying F-16s and F-35s around the world. That's next week on the Wausau Business Show.
Every boy's dream to be a fighter pilot.
Amen. And if you haven't signed up for the Friend of a Friend competition yet, $10,000 is at stake, or $2,500 for the runner-up.
Yeah, help us bring people to Wausau, everyone. Let's do this.
All you got to do is get them to move and live and work in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. Best small city. It's base camp.
Sign up on wausaubusiness.com.
All right. Thanks to our sponsors, Greenfire, Builders of the Future,
and Strong Bridge Wealth Advisors. Thank you so much.
So until next week with our Top Gun special, it's actually above a Top Gun. He's above a Top Gun fighter pilot.
He's a real live fighter pilot.
F-35s. You know how much those go for? We'll find out next week.
Can't wait.
From high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end.
Das BNA Wausau Business Show Transmission. All rights reserviert 2025.
At Root or Wear, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.